In Ephesians chapter 6, he starts off in verse 10 by saying, "Be strong in the Lord," or finally, my brethren, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That word wiles, it means methods, tricks, schemes of the devil. That every, you know, like I said, from the time you get up, Satan got a scheme to get you. Whether it's to get you to lie. You know, somebody call. I know I'm ready to get in trouble now. Tell him I'm not here. Oh, the trick of the devil.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Spiritual Warfare Prayer, which is based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Spiritual Warfare Prayer.
He's called a liar, he's called a murderer, he's called the enemy, and he's called the roaring lion. So the fact of the matter is, why do I believe that there's a devil? Because the Bible says that there's a devil, okay? There's no question about that. Now, here's the problem, and this just blows me away. This blows me away because we're talking about God's people now. If you'll put up that next slide. This is God's people, all right? Back one, right there. This is God's people. There was a survey that asked two questions or dealt with two items. One is, you know, do you believe that Satan is only a symbol of evil? And then there was another item that was on there that asked, is Satan a living being? Now, you know, we can get with the average American and we can get with adults over and under 16. But look at this, born again. People that are born again, say they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Barna is the one that puts this out. There goes the information right there that you can go to the website and find the resource so that, because like I said, unless I read it, I wouldn't have believed it myself, that 43% of born again people believe that Satan is a symbol of evil. That means that they don't believe that he's necessarily real of the 100 people that they surveyed. And then they surveyed in the same survey out of 100 people, they asked, is Satan a living being? And only 52%, you know what that means? Almost half of people who say that they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior don't believe the devil is real. Now, I'm not going to do it, but if it says, you know, most of the people in here this morning are born again. All right, you know the Lord. So I'm not going to do it, so don't raise your hand. But if I was to ask this congregation to raise their hand, according to this, that 50% of the people sitting here this morning don't believe in a real devil. That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. Now, can I get an amen from the people that do? All right. That sounded pretty hearty. All right. Now, I just wanted to let you know that there was a camera up here, and it took a snapshot of the congregation, and that if you didn't say amen, we got you on camera, and you will be getting a call from one of the deacons. Even among Catholics, Roman Catholics, Satan is only a symbol of evil. Almost 70% of Catholics believe that. That means 30%, you know, doesn't believe that. And then when they ask, Satan, is he a living being? Only about 25% believe that he is real. I mean, so that means 75% of Roman Catholics don't believe that he's real. And even if you go down to mainline Protestants, which would be, you know, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, you know, that whole group, you know, the same thing follows there. So as we look at this, you know, we have to come to the conclusion that we live in a world that denies the existence of the devil. But yet and still, I go back to the scripture that I started out talking about where Paul said, whenever I want to do good, evil is present. Evil is right there waiting to jump on me. We're doing a series on prayer. And that brings us to this point, because we as God's people need to know how to pray in the midst of the fact. And you know what? I hope that I can help somebody this morning. In the midst of the fact that evil is all around us, how do we need to pray? You know, a lot of times, you know, I think that we use the idea and concept of prayer flippantly. Well, I'll pray for you. Well, let's pray about it. But if we know that we are in a day-to-day struggle against evil, man, in my devotion time, I was reading something that really challenged me last week. I read this devotion every day. It's a devotion for pastors. And one of the things it talked about, it really challenges the pastor to make sure that he's rightly dividing the word and that he's rightly preaching the word. And it says something that really struck me in my heart. It said, because every word that you say from the pulpit is a word of light that strikes against the darkness. Every word that you say from that pulpit is a light that strikes against the darkness. And if we are under constant attack by the enemy, which we are, there's no question about that, and that there is a real enemy, then we need to be prayed up whenever we hit our feet. You see, you know, some people say, well, you know, as soon as my feet hit the floor, I'm praying. Well, you know, you need to change that and say, as soon as my eyes open, I'm praying. As soon as I come back to consciousness from my night's sleep, I'm praying. And so Paul gives us what we need to be able to fight the devil in prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, he starts off in verse 10 by saying, be strong in the Lord, or finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it means methods, tricks, schemes of the devil. That every, you know, like I said, from the time you get up, Satan got a scheme to get you. Whether it's to get you to lie. You know, somebody call. I know I'm ready to get in trouble now. Tell them I'm not here. Oh, the trick of the devil. Somebody called me yesterday. And my wife sometimes has to, because I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I get some crazy people that call me. Can I get an amen, Angie? Can I get an amen? Folks that are crazy. I'm serious. And my wife screens my calls. And so my granddaughter got the phone yesterday, and my wife tried to get to her, but she didn't. And my granddaughter gave me the phone. Thank God it was one of the Bethany members that needed a prayer. So I praise God for that. But you know what she'll say is, "Can I take your name?" And Pastor will get right back with you. And there's some folk that call me. I'm gonna be honest with you. Now it's not any of the Bethany members now, because I'll call you now. You call me, I'll call you. All right. But there's some folk I'm not even gonna call back, because I know what they want. All they want is a bunch of foolishness. And I understand that. You know, if I can help you, I'll help. If I can pray with you, if I can come see you, I'm going to do whatever I can. But there's some people that's out to destroy me. And I understand that. And I thank God for my wife, because my wife protects me from a lot of that foolishness. And I don't have to deal with a lot of it. And so as we deal with this, you know, we come and see that, you know, there's some folks. So once again, you know, my wife didn't want to lie and say he's not here, because I am there. She just says, can you take a message? Can I take a message? Can take your name? And Pastor will get back with you. And that's a good way to do it to me. You know, she's not saying I'm not there. But see, Satan is waiting with that for a lot of people. You know, just tell him I'm not here. Come on, be honest now. Tell the truth and shame the devil, as somebody said. Amen. Amen. But, you know, Satan, from the time you get up, he's waiting to attack you. He's waiting to come after you. And so as we look at Ephesians, you know, Paul says that we need to put on the armor of God, because he got these little tricks that he's trying to come up with against us during the day. He got them all, they're well thought through, and they're well lined up, and they're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. It might be just something innocent where, you know, you come and tell somebody good morning, and they say something that sets you off. You know, I mean, just that quick. Just that quick, you done shifted. Satan done got you to shift off of your game plan. You know, you might have got up and spent great time with the Lord, and you feel filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm convinced that we could be real spiritual people if we didn't have to deal with other folks. We could be real spiritual people. I mean, we could be, you know, saints like the monks back in the Middle Ages, you know, who isolated themselves and just got along with God, and they were just in this zone, you know, just spiritual. And we could be real spiritual. Devotioned up, sang up, prayed up, read up, and just go through life and never have to worry about anything. But as soon as you run into the first person, it's gone, man. It's gone. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be in this spiritual warfare, and we need to pray in this spiritual warfare. He said in verse 12, he said, and see, this is the problem. Somebody said, well, the problem is my wife, and the problem is my husband, or the problem are my kids. Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that lets you know right now that the problem is not your wife or your husband, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, you know, we're in a battle. And the problem is, you know, one of the most difficult things with the wars that we fight in Iraq and Afghanistan is that we're fighting an enemy that is hard to, who's hard to identify. If we just go out in the open area and do combat and fight against these individuals, then we might, you know, be able to get out of there a lot quicker. But, you know, we got to fight folk that, you know, we don't know who the enemy is. You know, just alongside, you know, I was talking to my son, and he was telling me how that, you know, people that go to Afghanistan, man, just how that they have to have all this special equipment with radar and stuff that goes before them to be able to detect roadside bombs. And just so they'll know where they're at, because they're fighting the enemy that they can't see. The same thing is true of the child of God. You're fighting the enemy that you can't see. And so we need to be able to be equipped with the weapons that God has given us to fight this battle. Now, let me go through this real quick, and I want to finish with this prayer. If you put up that next slide, the attack by the enemy, and how are we to defend the enemy? What does the enemy do? Once again, from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, he's got stuff out there for you. What is one of the things that he will do? He will accuse you. The Bible says that he's the accuser of the brethren, that he just wants to go to God because you've done something wrong. He just wants to see you slip up, and then he can go to God and say, look, yeah, you bragged on him. You said that he was such a great saint. You said he was trying to do right. Now look at him. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart, you know, as a pastor to brag on my folk and say, man, you know, that brother loves the Lord. You know, he's serving God. And then to see something happen. You know, Satan is rejoicing. So how do we fight against that? You know, well, Paul says here in Ephesians, he said, you know, having your loins girded with truth. That means you got to be a person of integrity. All right, you can't be one way here and one way there. You can't be a chameleon Christian, all right? You know, you can't, you know, say, well, okay, these flowers are red and white and I'm green, and so I'm going to try to fit in here, and so what I'll do is I'll turn myself the same color as the flowers. No, you got to be a person of integrity. The way you are here, the way you are at home, the way you are on the job, that you are a person of truth. That notice where he said truth was, where? In your loins, in your gut. That you got to be a person of truthfulness right in your gut. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Because I found that some of God's people are just liars. Bold-faced liars. And when you lie, you just open yourself up to the attack of Satan. We want to cast out demons. We want to study generational curses. Well, you just need to study integrity. You need to study integrity first and see how to become a person of integrity before you start worrying about this other stuff. Because Satan is attacking you, and you need to have the belt of truth. What does Satan do? What did he do to Jesus? He tempted him. Temptation. How do you fight temptation? Paul says that you put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? That means to live a holy life. Every day that you purpose in your heart that you're going to live right before God, that you're going to do the right things before God, because Satan puts the temptation. He said that we are not ignorant of Satan's wiles or devices. What? Accusation, temptation, that you've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, holy living. And if you're living a holy life, when he comes to if you're living a holy life, when he comes to tempt you, you got on the breastplate of righteousness. He can't mess with you. What does Satan try to do? He tries to discourage us. Paul said, I had a thorn in the flesh that was sent there from who? By Satan. Satan put a thorn in Paul's flesh. And what was the purpose of the thorn? It was to discourage Paul. Paul said, how do you combat that? You take the gospel shoes, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is that? That's having the peace of God in your heart. That if you've got God's peace in your heart, that whatever comes at you from the outside to discourage you, you'll be able to deal with, because the peace of God is in you. But if you don't have God's peace, if you don't have God's peace residing in your heart, Satan will use kids, husband, job, neighbors, everybody to discourage you. If you don't have the peace in your heart, you got to get, Paul said, put on the shoes, have your shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's another thing that Satan will do? He will afflict you. He'll afflict you with sickness. He'll afflict you with burdens. He'll afflict you with trials. Job, look at Job. Who afflicted Job? It was Satan that afflicted Job. Once again, we go back to Paul. Who afflicted Paul? It was Satan that afflicted Paul. Well, what do you got to do? He says, take up the shield of faith. And that when Satan pulls his bow and has his arrow with that tar-dipped, fiery-quenched arrow, that fire-tipped arrow, and he shoots that arrow of affliction at you, and it's coming right toward you, that you're able to put up the shield of faith. And somebody said, when I did some studying earlier, is that they said that those soldiers, what they would do is they would douse their shields with water so that whenever the arrows came with the flames on them, that they would hold these shields up and the arrow would hit the shield and the water would put out the arrow. You got to use the shield of faith. That when Satan throws these arrows at you, and you might get them thrown at you as soon as you walk out the door. You might have arrows thrown at you all day long. And you got to have the shield of faith to be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan tries to get us to believe the wrong things. I don't know how many people in the world today that there are that are holding to false doctrine and things that are not true. You know, we would rather do all these other things except come and study the Word of God for ourselves. We'd rather run to a seminar and listen to a false teacher teach us for an hour and study the Word and try to get some truth on our own. And so God says in his Word that in order to fight against false doctrine, I'm going to give you the helmet of salvation. What is that? That's understanding your salvation. That's knowing how to grow in your salvation. That's knowing when false doctrine is being preached. That if you've got the helmet of salvation on, that the enemy cannot hit you in your head. Why? Because your head is covered and you're thinking straight. The helmet of salvation. And then finally he said that Satan comes at us and we can read the Word over and over again, starting in the book of Genesis and going all the way through. One of the things that Satan tries to do is twist the Word of God. Tries to change it. Told Jesus, look, just jump off this temple and your angels will hold you up. It says in the Word, says in Psalm 90 that the angels will hold you up so that you won't hurt yourself. And so we have all kind of ways that Satan comes and tries to twist the word. But Paul says here, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you better have the word of God in your heart. And you better have it by your side. Because that is one of the main weapons in doing spiritual warfare. Now, as I close today, I want to emphasize verse 18. Because, see, we look at the armor, and sometimes we forget or we don't include verse 18 in the armor. Look at verse 18. He says here, praying when? When? One more time. When? Always. Why does he say praying always? Because from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, evil is present with you. Evil don't, whoa, Lord, I thank you for this revelation. Evil don't take a break. It doesn't take a break. It's always there. Evil is always present. And God says that the way that you fight it, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you got this armor, and he says that you should pray at all times. As we close today, I want to close with the prayer that you have. And I want to share this prayer together as we close out our service. This is a spiritual warfare prayer. And I would encourage you, now once again, as we've taught the people on Wednesdays with the book, don't use the book from rote and say, okay, well, I got to follow this plan. And we got to follow it. Now, I'm just saying, here's a good prayer for you to pray when you wake up in the morning. Here's a good prayer to pray. Won't take you every bit of a minute or so. So I'm going to ask that we bow our heads, and I'll pray it out loud, and you just follow along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today realizing that I'm in a spiritual battle. This battle was not against flesh and blood, but against an unseen enemy. Thank you for equipping me for this battle with spiritual strength and spiritual protection. Dear Lord, you have given me your special armor to stand firm in the battle. I praise you for the belt of truth, for it helped me to live a life of integrity and protect me from any lies perpetrated against me by the evil one. You have given to me the breastplate of righteousness, and it reminds me that I have been made righteous by your Son, Jesus Christ. It also encourages me to walk in the pathway of holiness in the areas of my conduct, character, and conversation. Allow me to march this day with my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. For in doing so, I will have peace in knowing that I am able to stand firm in the battle. Father, help me to employ the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the arrows of the wicked one that seek to afflict and destroy me. I glorify you for the helmet of salvation, for it will protect me against the enemy's blows to the mind, which attack the salvation given to me by Jesus Christ. These blows come against my faith, my doctrine, and my growth in biblical knowledge. And finally, Lord, strengthen me to stand tall, wielding the sword of the Spirit. Please help me to study, memorize, and meditate on your word so that when I am in the heat of the battle, I will be able to use biblical truth against the enemy. Thank you for this armor, dear Lord. Guide me as I use it today. I pray at the end of the day, I will have done everything in your power to withstand the attacks by the enemy, and that I will be standing strong. Please help me to pray, to always pray this prayer.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the first half of Coming into the Presence of the Lord. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Spiritual Warfare Prayer, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Spiritual Warfare Prayer, or program number 100117. That's 877-831-5060 and request Spiritual Warfare Prayer, or program number 100117. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.